Dumont goes into jealousy and investigates the humor of the subject with the help of Alfred Marx.
I wouldn't say my wife's jealous, but she's the only woman I know. A man went to the casualty department of a hospital with a blood-stained handkerchief round his finger. A pretty nurse went across to unwrap the finger to reveal a very deep cut. Immediately, she burst into tears and, holding the hand to her face, wept piteously for several minutes. When she'd stopped and the man had gone to be stitched up, another nurse said that, "Why did you cry? He wasn't very badly hurt." The first girl said, "He jilted me last year for another woman, and I was crying to get salt in the cut."
Your wife. You said your wife was angry when she found a letter in your pocket.
Yeah.
Was it one you'd forgotten to post?
No, it's the one I've forgotten to burn. A newly married couple sitting in the pub, and a gorgeous blonde slinks past. "Hello, Nigel, darling," she said to the husband in a silky voice as she went by. The wife said, "Who was that?" The husband said, "I wish you'd stop asking awkward questions. I'm going to have enough trouble explaining who you are." You know, there's a lot of jealousy between various branches of the armed forces. When the RAF developed planes that could go faster than sound, the army started working on a sound that could go faster than planes. Young bride on her honeymoon said to her husband, "Now I want you to sack your secretary." Husband said, "Why? You used to be a secretary yourself." "That," she said, "is why I want you to sack her." Young Casanova said to his girlfriend, "Darling, darling, you're a girl in a thousand." "Oh," she said, bursting into tears. "Had there been that many others, then?" One little boy said to another one, "Wish I was rich. I'll give £1,000 to be one of them millionaires." A Scot and the Jew went into business together and bought a second-hand bus. They agreed that the Scot should drive and the Jew collect the fares. The Jew was very happy with the arrangement and immediately insured the Scot for £5,000. A week later, the Scot was dead of a twisted neck. The Jew collected the insurance, bought two more buses, got his two brothers into the business, and advertised for three Scotsmen able to drive. Two young wives talking. One says to the other, "Does your husband talk in his sleep?" The other one says, "No, he just grins. It's exasperating."
Jealousy is one of the commonest and least manageable human emotions. People who claim they don't feel it are the object of great suspicion and jealousy from the rest of us. And they're probably liars, too. At its worst, jealousy is a terrifying obsession. And at its best, it's not very attractive. Here are a few thoughts on it. First, from John Churton Collins.
Envy and fear are the only passions to which no pleasure is attached.
La Rochefoucauld.
Envy is more irreconcilable than hatred.
And what's more, it doesn't do you any good. A verse from Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha.
Envy and wrath shorten the life.
Most human evils will yield to the power of reason, but jealousy is very resistant to it. Here is an extract from Othello, that great tragedy of jealousy.
But jealous souls will not be answered so. They are not ever jealous for the cause, but jealous for they are jealous. That quote was a bit short, wasn't it?
Hardly worth blacking up for. Here's a quote from Woodruff, writing in 1623.
He would have flayed a louse for her skin, he was so covetous.
Here's a personification of envy taken from Pierce Penniless' His Supplication to the Devil, published by Thomas Nash in 1592.
Envy is a crocodile that weeps when he kills and fights with none but he feeds on. This is the nature of this quick-sighted monster. He will endure any pains to endamage another, waste his body with undertaking exploits that would require 10 men's strength rather than any should get a penny but himself. Blear his eyes to stand in his neighbor's light, And you conclude, like Atlas, under prop heaven alone, rather than any should be in heaven that he like not of, or come unto heaven by any other means but by him.
What an unpleasant creature. Ugh. Not nice, nasty, isn't it? Jealousy thrives well in close communities, especially between people who live out of each other's pockets.
Of Alliston, a corn chandler. 5 months. Even Hercules' glove hasn't been paid for. That is unforgivable. Final demand, gas bill. Legal proceedings, water rates. Final demand, electric lights. Final demand, telephone bill. Legal proceedings, fishmonger. Scampi. Fresh Scotch salmon. I ain't never had any scampi or Scotch salmon. The best I've had is kippers. Hey, look, it's a regular order every Friday. Where's that butcher's bill? Grouse? I don't even know what a grouse looks like. Well, it's steak, escalops and veal, breast of chicken. Oh, how the other half do live. Oh, look, here's me. 1/2 pound of sausage meat. Oh, and a pig's trotter. I bet I was grateful that day. I bet I was thinking, what a nice old man. He goes without himself in order to give me my favourite dish, pig's trotter. And all that time you were sitting there with a dirty great gut full of overripe pheasants.
What do you mean, your favourite dish? What are you moaning about?
It's only my favourite dish, because I was unaware that we was running a miniature Savoy grill here.
You didn't have to eat it, you could have had something else.
Oh, it's Marie Antoinette all over again, is it? Let them eat cake. Well, I'm telling you, mate, the Tumbrils is coming for you. You're for the chopping block. Once the local petty bourgeoisie finds out we cannot cough up the conkers, heads will roll. And there'll be no Scarlet Pimpernel around to save your dirty little neck.
Couldn't we query the bill, Harris? I'm sure I didn't have all that.
Well, it's a bit late now, isn't it? You should check them as soon as they come in. In any case, you'll get no change out of him. He's as crooked as his meat skewers. Honestly, Dad, you really are gullible. They can have you over sooner look at you.
Yeah, what about you? Hey, look at this. What about this for a waste of money? News agent. Financial Times. Economist. Stock Exchange Gazette. Investors Chronicle. Yeah, what do you want all that lot for?
Anybody who is in business has to keep his finger on the financial pulse of the country.
You won't find the pulse where you keep your finger.
Tiptoe and Son. A jealous person is suspicious of everyone. He doesn't like the idea of anyone having something that he hasn't got. Here's a comment from Oscar Wilde.
Anyone can sympathize with the sufferings of a friend, but it requires a very fine nature to sympathize with a friend's success.
It's quite intolerable to see anyone get better treatment in whatever situation. Here's an epigram from the Latin of Gaius Lucilius.
Diophon was being crucified, but when he saw another near him on a higher cross, he died of envy.
And a comment from Robert Burton.
Like Aesop's fox, when he'd lost his tail, would have all his fellow foxes cut off theirs.
Yes, a jealous character likes to see everyone suffering under equal disadvantages, or preferably slightly greater disadvantages than his own. He's a killjoy and expresses his jealousy in disapproval. A report from the Daily Sketch.
The councillor told Windsor Council's General Purposes Committee meeting, I was shocked at the lack of morals. There were young girls having their navels and breasts painted with flowers in broad daylight. At night, couples were carrying on acts of immorality. I was in the guards and I know what they're up to.
Jealousy is, by definition, an ungenerous emotion and one that aims at exclusive ownership. Here's an example from the Hampstead and Highgate Express.
The inspector presiding at the inquiry, Mr. Joll, asked, will there be any free water closets? Mr. Hudson. Sir, all water closets in Hampstead are free. A member of the public. So we ratepayers are paying for the convenience of people who may come from other boroughs.
Though jealousy in matters of material possessions is strong, It's far stronger in affairs of love. It has long been accepted as an essential part of the makeup of the young lover and leads to many tears and arguments. Young people are particularly susceptible when they go out to parties to meet members of the opposite sex. A sad story now, told in a letter from Woman's Mirror.
I went to a dance which was started off with all the guests being given a label bearing the name of half a well-known dish. You had to find the person with the other half. For instance, fish went with chips, roast beef with Yorkshire pudding, and so on. My label was egg, and I found a boy labelled bacon. But when I spoke to him, he said, let's have a look round first. Then he went off with a girl labelled liver. And I was left with nobody except the boy labelled onions, which certainly didn't go with egg.
That really is a sad line, isn't it? I was left with a boy labelled onions. No wonder it ended in tears. Unfortunately, jealousy doesn't vanish with maturity in affairs of the heart. Rather, it gets worse. In the words of Horner, the hero of William Wycherley's The Country Wife,
as gout in age from pox in youth proceeds, so wenching past, then jealousy succeeds, the worst disease that love and wenching breeds.
And it can become more and more powerful and obsessive. At the worst, it can drive people to the psychiatrist.
Come in. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Dr. Braintree.
Hello. Come in.
Sorry I'm late.
It's quite all right. Yes. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Would you like to sit down, or would you prefer to lie?
I'll sit, thank
right.
you.
Right, well, sit right down. Now, tell me, how are you in yourself?
Well, I'm really feeling rather in the pink.
Oh, this is terrific.
Yes. It's funny, really. You know, if anybody had told me that talking to psychiatrists would have helped me at all, I'd have laughed in their faces, you
yes.
know. But I can honestly say that our little chats together have really been a tremendous benefit to me.
I'm so glad, Roger. Of course, a lot of people are instinctively very suspicious of psychiatry, and possibly, you know, with reason, but it can help in times.
Well, I really think it can, because, you know, I've got so much more self-confidence now.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
I'm much less self-conscious in the company of the opposite sex, which I wasn't, as you know.
You're less inhibited, are you?
I should say.
Good.
And the wonderful thing is, really, about it all, I'm in love.
Well, this is wonderful news, Roger. You're in love with a woman?
Yes.
Oh, so much. So much the better. That's terrific.
It's so wonderful to be in love. I can't tell you the absolute joy I have.
Well, love is a wonderful thing. I've been there myself. It's a wonderful thing.
I mean, she's... This girl, this creature, this goddess...
Yes.
It's so... You know, it's so right. Everything
yes.
is so
yes.
wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes. You
know?
You really click together.
Yes. Oh, it's so marvellous. But the only trouble is that, apart from this wonderful, light-hearted love that I have,
I
seem to be saddled with this tremendous... burning sense of guilt.
You have guilt as well as love. Well, this is unfortunate, Roger. You know, sex is the most natural, healthy thing in the world. There's no reason at all to have any guilt about it. I mean, why would you have guilt about sex? It's a lovely, beautiful thing, Roger.
Well, it's not really as simple as that. You know, it's rather difficult to explain. I don't really know where to start.
Well, begin at the beginning. That's always the best. What's the girl's name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, that's a lovely name, isn't it? Well, my wife's name, in fact, isn't it?
Yes. It's Stephanie.
Yes, it's Stephanie.
No, it's Stephanie.
Yes, it's Stephanie, Roger.
Yes, it's Stephanie. It's your wife.
Oh, you're in love with my wife, Stephanie.
Yes.
Well, this is a perfectly understandable thing, Roger. She's a very attractive woman. I married her myself. I don't see why you should feel upset about that.
But she's in love with me.
Well, this again is perfectly understandable, Roger. I mean, you're a perfectly attractive human being, as I've told you over the last few weeks. There's nothing repulsive about you, is there? There's no reason why a highly sexed woman such as Stephanie shouldn't fall in love with you. And I must explain to you, Roger, that I'm a very busy man. I have many, many patients to see. I see rather less of my wife, perhaps understandable, that she should seek some sort of companionship outside the marriage. I don't think that's unreasonable
at all. But she's not seeking anything outside marriage, Dr. Braintree, and nor am I. We want to get married.
Well, this again, I think, is perfectly understandable. After all, you're two young people in love. You want to manifest your love feelings within the confines of a bourgeois society through marriage. I think this is very appropriate.
The other thing is, you see, I should feel so grateful to you for what you've done for me, and all I can feel is this burning jealousy. I can't bear the thought of you touching her.
Well, of course you can't. I can understand it. Tremendously possessive about someone one loves. One is tremendously possessive. It would be unhealthy not to have this jealousy reaction, Roger.
But don't you see, I hate you for it.
Of course you hate me, Roger.
I hate you for being so near her.
Yes, of course you hate me, Roger. You love to hate the one who loves the one you hate to love to love. Very old rule, Roger. There's nothing to feel ashamed about. It's absolutely reasonable.
Don't you understand? I want to kill you.
Of course you want to kill me, because by killing me, Roger, you eradicate the one you hate. This is a perfectly natural reaction, Roger.
You're so reasonable, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You understand it all so much. You're so logical.
Yes, I am. It's my
I'm going
job,
to have
Roger.
To kill you now.
Roger, this is a little inconvenient, because I have another patient at 6:30. And then there's somebody else at 7 after that. I wonder if you could make it sometime next week. Could you make it early in the week, sir?
When do you think?
How are you fixed on Wednesday morning, say at 9:30? Would that be convenient?
Yes, that's perfect.
Right, well, if you could pop along at 9:30 and kill me then.
Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Few men have such control over their jealousy, and probably even fewer women. Women's jealousy is proverbial for its strength. As Congreve wrote, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Or as I thought it read until embarrassingly recently, hell hath no fury like a woman's corns. But the thought is expressed very strongly by Arthur Wing Pinero.
All jealous women are mad.
And Matthew Prior wrote,
for story and experience tell us that man grows old and woman jealous.
Some women are so jealous they can't bear the thought of their men taking home any influences from the world outside. Here's a description of one such by Cecilius.
She'd have you spew up what you drunk abroad.
Mind you, some of the things you drink when you're abroad is a natural question. Male jealousy and female jealousy have their most violent clashes within the setting of marriage. Many violent marital rows are caused by the unfaithfulness, or more often the imagined unfaithfulness, of one partner or the other. The danger of a man choosing too beautiful a wife is one of the most popular themes of early literature. Here's John Florio on the subject.
He that a white horse and a fair wife keepeth, for fear, for care, for jealousy scarce sleepeth.
The cuckold is a traditional figure of fun. An unsuspecting husband whose wife is unfaithful. Little poem now by Matthew Prior.
When Pontius wished an edict might be passed, that cuckold should into the sea be cast, his wife, assenting, thus replied to him, but first, my dear, I'd have you learn to swim.
Another equally cynical one by an anonymous poet.
Tom found a trinket in his bed, which he to Stephen's mistress given. What's this, dear wife? Only, she said, your gift to Anne, returned by Stephen.
Seems that wife swapping has been around quite a long time. And that's a practice, wife swapping, that leads to all sorts of matrimonial problems and really practical complications. Here a report on that from Where Else? The People.
The husband added that their wife swapping activities were restricted in the summer because he played cricket at weekends.
Promiscuity almost always leads to jealousy on someone's part. And sexual jealousy is an appallingly strong emotion. It can lead to scenes of frightening violence. A paragraph from the Edinburgh Evening News.
Miss O'Neill said Wardlow picked up an axe and struck her twice on the head with it. She was in bed at the time. Shortly afterwards, he hit her on the head with a can of soup. She went on, then he opened it and we both had the soup.
Cream passionnel, or possibly cream of tomato. That's always one way of making up. But jealousy makes forgiveness and reconciliation awkward. News from the Evening News.
A divorce court judge said today a wife had told him that after confessing to her husband about her adultery with an itinerant ice cream seller, she wrote a letter to the ice cream man ending the association. She gave it to her husband, who took it to the man, shook hands with him, and came back with 2 free sixpenny cornets.
Licking the problem. For some people, domestic jealousy is not primarily a matter of relationships, but of material possessions. Keeping up with the Joneses can be the blight of suburban living. Everyone feels they must have things at least as good as their neighbours, preferably better. Certain possessions are quite essential in suburban life. Here's part of a letter written to the Sunday Pictorial.
Isn't it strange what being a car owner can do for one socially? Until we got ours 18 months ago, there were quite a few people nearby who never even acknowledged us. Now these people seem to go out of their way to say, hello.
Or possibly, hello. Of course, your car should be bigger and newer than anyone else's. That's the way to keep ahead and make sure that the neighbours are jealous of you, rather than vice versa. Another wonderful possession advertised in Titbits.
At last, a warm toilet seat. Like sitting on toast.
As long as it's not one of those that pops out. Failing that, of course, you could get an electric butter knife. It's spreading butter, is it? Or a naval brush. N-A-V-E-L. That's sort of brushing battleships. Or a pair of solid gold toenail clippers. Then you're sure to be the envy of your friends. Everyone has a desire to excel, and particularly if by doing so, you can impress a member of the opposite sex.
Ron, he was the most cleverest juggler I've ever seen. It just didn't look possible. Well, what he did was, well, he stretched his leg forward, and he took a plain teacup. Know what I mean, Ron?
No, eh?
It's an ordinary teacup, Ron, like you pour your tea into your saucer from.
Oh, I know what you're getting at here. A teacup.
Yes, that's it, Ron.
That's
well,
it, yes.
He balanced this teacup on his foot, and then suddenly he kicked upwards. The cup flew in the air, and Ron, he caught it on top of his head. He caught it and balanced it, Ron.
Bless you, eh?
No, Ron. That was the noise the drummer made. Oh, it was fascinating, Ron. Oh, and he was so handsome with it.
With what, eh?
Well, with being able to kick a teacup from his foot onto his head, Ron. Oh, I quite fell for him, Ron.
I see.
Don't say it like that, beloved. It's just, well, I always admire a man who's, well, deft.
And what makes you think I'm not, eh?
I didn't say you weren't, Ron.
I've heard Dad tell people that I'm deft enough for anything.
Well, there's no call for you to get onto your dignity, beloved. Some people can kick teacups on their heads and some can't. It's just nature's way.
And how do you know I'm not in nature's way?
Because it's just not your Ron, what are you doing with the crockery?
He put the teacup on his foot like this, eh?
Oh, Ron, don't try it, please. You'll strain something.
Now, then he kicked upwards. Ron, 1, 2, go. Is it on my head, eh?
No, Ron.
Where is it?
It went through the window into the garden. Well, you might have done it with an empty cup. You soaked me.
I'll get it onto my cap this time, eh? I'll use Dad's teacup, the big one.
Oh, no, no, Ron. Oh, please, for my sake, don't try, beloved. That cup's heavy.
I'm going to, eh?
Very well. On your own head, be it.
So Dick Bentley and June Whitfield from Take It From Here. And that's just about all from our look at jealousy. Let's just close with the thought that what most people are really jealous of is the idea that anyone has advantages over them, gets better treatment or any sort of privilege. Thank goodness that's not true of our royal family.
Prince Charles, aged 18, passed his driving test first bash yesterday. He went through the 45-minute examination at Isleworth, Middlesex, in a special car with a special examiner over a special route. Apart from that, it was quite normal.
That snippet from the Daily Sketch ends our program on jealousy. Goodbye.
Yes, I just can say, why do you always get to say goodbye in a minute?
Well, why do you read all the quotations?
I wish I had that.
It's not fair.
Oh, I wish I had that.
Wish I had your money.
Like, oh, what? You're going to be joking.
I'm glad I haven't got your food.
Frank Muir Goes Into Jealousy was produced by Simon Brett and John Lloyd.